Okay, welcome back to another the Drunk Bond Podcast solo edition. I think I might be doing like 10 of these. I kind of thunk it over, and I think I don't want to do all 24. Like, who wants to actually sit down and have a good time with a drink and like talk about Quantum of Solace? I don't know about you, but I don't. And that's all that really matters. And this is kind of a revisit of GoldenEye. Now you say, hey, Sentient Smythe, enough with the formalities. What are you drinking today? I'm having a GoldenEye. Well, hey, Sentient Smythe, what's a GoldenEye? Well, if you'd fucking let me talk, I'd tell you. A GoldenEye is from the resort, the GoldenEye Resort, and it's equal parts Blackwell rum and pineapple juice. A wonderful drink. Brings me back there. Yes, I went there on my honeymoon. And it was fan-fucking-tastic. When we got there, we met the actual owner, Chris Blackwell. That was kind of cool. And had dinner in our room that night, which was lovely. And just the next 5 days, I took a tour of that place. Like, every single day, I would just take a lap just because I loved it. And I've thought about that place every day. And I have to stop following them on Instagram because I'm like, I can't stop thinking about that place. Love the bar. I love the pool. I love the ocean. I love the Button Beach, the Bizot Bar, the gazebo, the lagoon. We stayed in the Lagoon Villa, which I recommend. Everything about it. Fucking loved it. GoldenEye was probably my second favorite drink. My favorite drink was the first drink I ever got. I walked up to the bar and I said, because when we got there, they only have like a set menu for that certain day, like for lunch and drinks. So there's like four drinks. So I was like, well, those are none of the drinks that I saw online that I wanted. What do you recommend? And he goes, Black Passion. And I was like, what? And he goes, Black Passion. And I go, what? And he goes, Black Passion. I can't say what three times. So I said, okay, sure. And it was delicious. And it ended up being my favorite drink of the trip. And I went back to the bar after that and said, what was that drink again? And he goes, Black Passion. Clearly, I can't understand you, man. Like, say it differently. In his defense, thick Jamaican accent, and he's got a mask on. But still, I can't hear. I don't know what you're saying. I'm an American, for Christ's sake. It was a Black Passion, which is Blackwell rum, passion fruit puree, and maybe there was like some orange juice or lime juice or something. Fucking delicious. And you want to talk about a wild goose chase, go try to find some passion fruit puree somewhere, because I've been having no luck. And I'm actually drinking this from the Bizot Bar glass that I bought from there. Last week I had on the GoldenEye shirt. There's been a lot of GoldenEye stuff lately. And today we'll be discussing GoldenEye. It is freezing cold where I live, South Louisiana. So I figured, hey, I'm going to watch the two freezing cold Bond movies on Her Majesty's Secret Service, which I just finished. And after this, I'm going to watch For Your Eyes Only. For Your Eyes Only, darling. Not the most fun Bond movies ever. On Her Majesty's is a good time, but I don't know about For Your Eyes Only. But I'm watching it nonetheless. And they actually connect with Tracy. So, you know, win-win. So let's get to the movie. 1995. This was after Dalton's shit show. 6 year gap there. All kind of troubles with MGM, or not MGM, but the licensing and everything. And I don't know. I'm gonna leave that to the attorneys to figure out. Not some drunken jerk off podcast host. I'm not gonna be able to figure all that out. You go read the books. You figure it out. What's his name just did a great book on what Dalton's third and fourth movie were going to be, and just the forgotten Bond idea that they never used. I highly recommend it. So check that out if you want to figure out what happened in the middle there. Or what Dalton's third movie was going to be. Was it going to be GoldenEye? Was it not? You know, you go read that. This is not where you come for a lot of information. And this was kind of the first time we got the closest thing we were going to get to like maybe a reboot up until this point. Now reboot is just, it's all you fucking get. I mean, how many times do we have to see Bruce Wayne's parents get killed? How many times do we have to see Spider-Man get bit by that fucking spider? Does anyone even like Spider-Man? I don't. I mean, how many times did those movies have to fail and they're like, okay, we're just going to start again? What's going on that field trip? They're not following the rules. Get bit by a spider? his stupid parents are dead, or I don't know what happened to them. All I know is Aunt what's her name? Aunt Beru? What is it? Aunt May? I went from like an old lady like on her deathbed to Marissa Tomei. That was a nice little change they made. But who actually likes Spider-Man? He's a fucking dork. Oh, hi, Mary Jane. Oh, gee whiz. Oh, shucks. I'm Peter Parker. Hey, can I get a smooch? No, go away. Nobody likes you, dude. It's enough. But we're not here to discuss Spider-Man today. We're here to discuss Goldeneye. So we start out with Pierce's new gun barrel. Not crazy about the CGI gun barrel. I just gotta say it. But Pierce's gun barrel performance is the best of all the Bonds. That's right, I said it. And we cut to our PTS. He's running on that dam. One of the best stunts of all time, that bungee jump off the dam. Apparently something with the wind that day, like they had to wait for a long time to get it right, or he was just going to splat on that dam, which I kind of would have liked, you know, the behind the scenes, if we'd actually had a dead stuntman. Dead stuntman, you know, that's just fun. Those are fun tidbits. And I would have included that in the fun facts at the end of this podcast. But no, he had to survive, and now we don't have a fun fact. You feel good about that stuntman? Couldn't you just sacrifice yourself? So we get Brosnan's reveal upside down, which I enjoy, in the bathroom. We see some bare asses, couple dicks, couple ball sacks. He's roaming around the facility. He's laughing. He's having a good time. See a butcher there, like cutting up a slab of beef. How many soldiers are there that you need that many?
That you have to slaughter an entire cow?
To where you need to bring in a butcher. That's how much beef we eat in Russia right now. And he meets 006. First time pairing with another double agent, which is fantastic. I wish they'd do it again. As long as the other agent doesn't take over. It's a James Bond movie, for Christ's sake. It's a 007 movie, not a 00 jerk-off. But, again, you know, it's another example of an ally not acting like an ally at first. Pulls a fucking gun on James. Right in his face. You know what he's been through. You know he can get himself out of some hairy situations. You really think it's smart to just put a gun in his face? Speaking Russian talk? That triggers that PTSD in Bond's head when you start speaking Russian. He's going to murder you. He's going to murder you right in the face. But no, it's not a Russian. It's Alec Trevelyan. It's his buddy, 006. All's well. We can laugh again. We can cry. We can smile. Back to your popcorn. It's all right. It's not going to be all right for long, but it's all right for now. So their goal is to blow up all the tanks in the bottling room. You know, you've played the game. And alarm goes off. All those soldiers surround them. They're fucked. So basically at that point, it's like, all right, we came here to blow up these tanks. We're going to blow up these tanks. And I guess Bond maybe has a soft spot for Alec because when he's held hostage and about to get shot, you have 10 seconds to come out or I'm going to kill him. Bond drops his gun and comes out with his hands up. All right, we'll try to get out of this together. And then Orimov shoots him in the head and kills him. And Bond's like, fuck. More on that later. That's going to come in handy later. That act of, okay, it's me and Alec together then. All right, now my buddy's gone. It's just me versus all these soldiers. I'm fucked. Let's blow up these tanks right now, and I'm just going to make a run for it. And that's what he does. And he does it well, and he manages to escape the facility. Again, I think we discussed this last time. I don't know when Alec was in on it, when he turned, were the blanks in the gun, did he shoot behind his head? I mean, he shot that soldier, so I don't know what that was all about. Did the soldier not actually die? Nah, who knows. After, you think Orimov's like, you're on my side, right? Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah, well, you shot like 20 of my guards, of my men. What was that all about? Well, I had to sell it. Oh, okay. Well, you sold it because now a lot of people are dead and I got to go to 20 fucking funerals. So thank you. I just pray to God Pierce got out of there in time to get the invincibility cheat. That's all I can hope for. Was it invisibility? Was invisibility archives? I just got the invincibility cheat on the game for the first time in my life. It's the last thing I'd never gotten. And I tweeted about it. And Dr. Doak himself, David Doak, commented on it, retweeted it. Nice little back and forth. We're friends now. We're going to start traveling together. It's going to be great. We'll send y'all a postcard. So Pierce escapes on that motorcycle. He gets on it. He gets off it. He gets on it. He gets on the plane, off the plane. great. The stunt at the end of it was the coolest thing ever when I was a kid, him diving off that plane. Martin Campbell and Famke Janssen, whatever, just gave a commentary on IGN, and he was saying how they just did that like 8 times. They just drove that motorcycle off a cliff, and the dude was like, so some poor prick had to go pick up 8 trashed motorcycles? And Martin Campbell's like, yeah. Send an intern down there. Hey, go pick up all that shit. Really, you don't want to just leave it? Like, no one goes there. It's the bottom of a mountain. It's like a cave. What did I just say?
Well, I'm going to have to go, like, spelunk down there. I don't give a shit what you have to do. I'm the director, and you're whoever. I don't know your name. I'll tell you what your name's about to be. Some nobody that just got fired. Jesus. Typical 90s girl intern from NYU, all feminist, can't be bothered to go spelunk down 3,000 feet by herself and pick up a half dozen motorcycles. About to bring her back to the golden age of Hollywood when I spelunk in her face. I'm sorry.
So we cut to the title sequence. Bond flies away. He's all good. This title sequence, I think, is my favorite one. It's such a difference between License to Kill and GoldenEye's title sequence. They came a long way with the technology here. And I don't understand why this song is not ranked higher. I love this song. I think it's number 2 on my list, behind The Spy Who Loved Me, or Nobody Does It Better. Love it. And so we cut to the back to the movie 9 years later. Bond's in the DB5. This is before the DB5 was overdone. And he starts getting in that race with Xenia. Horrible song. More on that later again, but Eric Serra's score. The next girl. Terrible. He's in his car with that psychologist there to like evaluate him for whatever reason. So they have a nice back and forth, her Ferrari and his Aston Martin, and they're drinking, they're driving, they're breaking the law. A lot of things that aren't good to do. One good thing would have been to kill all those bikers. I mean, who likes a biker, honestly? How many times do you drive on the road and you see a biker and you think, eh, what if I just give him a little nudge? Just to let them know, just to remind them who the king of the road is.
Em, I'm going to need you to help me dust up a little matter. Oh, what happened? I killed, like, I don't know, 40 cyclists. And I just took off pretty fast. Jesus, what the fuck happened? I don't know, relax, man. I got a license to kill. What's the problem?
Sometimes they're a vehicle. They're right in the center of the street. Other times, they're just a pedestrian, and now you're, like, walking, and you have, like, this thing going 20 miles an hour coming right at you, and they won't move. It's whatever's convenient for them, and I don't like them. And they're, like they're in the fucking French Open, whatever that stupid race is called, Tour de France. They got those tights on, and they're just, like, standing there, like they stopped. They're not even riding their bikes. Get out of here. So anyway, he ends up fucking that psychiatrist woman. Which, she has no business even being in this scene. They shouldn't have even cast that woman, just like, that's not cool to, like, do that to her. Okay, you're cast. You're going to be Pierce Brosnan's, James Bond's, first conquest in the new movie.
I am?
Yes, you are. Congratulations. So that means, like, I can pull someone like Pierce Brosnan, you know? Yeah, sure. I think when Pierce showed up on set, all right, which one's my first lady? Here we go. He takes a look at her, and you just hear him go, ugh! Lady, get out of the fucking clouds. It's odd casting. That'd be a good list to make. The least attractive women that Bond ever sleeps with. She's got to be right up there. She looks like a librarian. What is she doing in there? Someone might want to look into her. So anyway, cut to the casino, and Bond and Xenia start playing Baccarat. Starts checking everything off the list. He's got a tux on. He's making dick puns. Bond, James Bond. He's got a martini. He's laughing. Best the villain in cards. No one knows what they're doing. No one knows the game of Baccarat, but it seems like they're enjoying themselves, and it seems like Bond's winning. I didn't know what Baccarat was when I was a kid. I just knew I wanted to have sex with Xenia. And they start chatting, and I like how she calls Russia the land of opportunity. I've heard Russia been called many things. Never heard it called that. And he discovers that she's linked to Yanis, this crime syndicate. And the boat that she gets on with this admiral or whatever is like a front for Yanis, that crime syndicate. So she fucks that admiral, and someone comes take the ID. we never even like really find out who that is. Because it shows him with the gloves taking the ID out. And then later you show him showing his ID with those gloves. So it's the same guy. But like we never, that's not Oromov. I don't know who that is. Anyone, that bother anyone else? Can anyone hear me? So the next day she ends up killing that admiral. And the next day Bond goes in that boat. I like the power way he opens that sliding door. And it's just a downright sensible double-breasted blazer. A DBB. Double-breasted blazer. Sees him dead and gets in a fight with that just random dude. Why he's just attacking Bond just straight up, I don't know. But the towel whip is so great. And me and my former co-host, not former co-host, my co-host who's not present today. We got to laughing about that scene with Pierce whipping that henchman with the towel. We got to laughing about that on a dance floor one time. We were like standing right by the band and we were talking about that. And we were howling laughing. And we started imitating it over and over and over. And I imagine the band must be like, you two motherfuckers, get the fuck off the dance floor. You're bothering everybody. You're bothering us. You're bothering everyone's trying to dance. Y'all are putting all y'all's might into these towel whips, and then you'll laugh for 5 minutes straight, and then you'll do towel whips again, and then you'll laugh for 5 minutes straight, and then you'll do like over and over and over. Are you two retards? Can someone throw these dudes out of the bar? Maybe it's a little obnoxious, but it was funny to us. So Bond goes to the boat the next day to try to stop Xenia and that whoever that dude is from stealing the chopper. They kill the two original pilots. If I was one of the pilots and I knew that Xenia was going to kill me, I wouldn't even care. If she's luring me in to have sex, I'd be like, all right, well, it's just a risk I'm going to take. I know I got a mission, like, right now, but this is an attractive woman, and I'm going to go have sex with her, and I don't care what happens to me. Which kind of sums up a guy's brain in a nutshell right there. I don't care what happens to me. I'm going with this woman. I don't care if I die. You know, I'll deal with that later. Exit strategy later. So Bond starts sprinting onto the boat. All the police officers stop him, and sure enough, they drive off. Maybe yell something. Maybe I'm British Secret Service. Or maybe, hey, they're stealing that helicopter. You check their credentials again, they're stealing that helicopter. Don't just be silent. He never even says anything. Sure enough, they fly away. Well, why didn't you say anything, Mr. Handsome Man? So we got to the bunker with Natalia and Boris. Two computer programmers. And they're just dicking around doing stupid computer shit that no one cares about. They're trying to guess Boris's password with knockers and chair or whatever. I'll tell you, it's a good thing Boris doesn't have to change his password every month and have a capital letter, a symbol, at least 12 letters, and a fucking emoji in it. Imagine typing chair as your password today. I think someone from the internet might come and knock on your door. Be like, are you kidding me? Five letters, that's it, and they're all lowercase? To your fucking Jelly of the Month subscription that has to be so secure that someone's going to hack into this and get discounts in your name? Jesus Christ. Remembering passwords takes up like 40% of my brain power. I write it down. I'm like, well, someone can hack into this, I guess. I don't know. I put it down on a sheet of paper. I don't know. Someone can look at it. But then I have to change it every month, and I don't always go to that piece of paper to change the password. So I'm always just playing a guessing game, and then I do it too many times, and I'm locked out, and then I start breaking things. I hit the wife, you know. You know how that goes. But Boris doesn't have that problem because it's 1995, and it's Russia. So they're going to hack into your account no matter what. Doesn't matter if you have it secure or insecure. The government's in your shit. And that fat woman's like, he wouldn't know woman if one came sat on his face. What does she say? He wouldn't know anything if you came sat on his face, because you'd smother him to death. You Alex Borstein-looking bitch. Alex Borstein's the voice of Lois on Family Guy, and she was on Mad TV for a while. They look very stimular. Look it up. Because this isn't a presentation that I'm making in person. This is just for your ears. So you have to go look that up on your own time. And if you do, I'd appreciate it. And get back to me. So Xenia and Oromov arrive. They kill everyone except Natalia. Good for her. Because Boris ducks out before to go get goes for the cigarette. And they steal the Goldeneye disc. Apparently this thing's like an electromagnetic satellite weapon from the Cold War. and they fired at the bunker. But can I say that Oromov's hat is dynamite? It keeps all the warmth in, you know? It's a winter day like today. You don't even need clothes, really. You wear a t-shirt and shorts and that hat, and you're good. I might dress like Oromov for Halloween this year.
You walk into the bar. And who are you supposed to be? General Arkady Grigoryevich Arumov, head of Space Division. Oh, fun.
And these fucking employees are freaking out about this murder. Is this not a normal thing in Russia? For soldiers to just start coming into your workplace and shooting up the joint?
They usually do it once a week, not twice, so...
Xenia's getting off while doing it. Oromov's kind of, okay. I wonder if Oromov's ever made a move on Xenia. I mean, might as well. You're hanging out a lot. He's a good-looking lady. He's a general. I mean, there's some power there. I'm sure Xenia respects power. You might as well take a shot. Worst she can do is say no. Or kill you, I guess, but, you know. So, they fire the fucking weapon, and that's that. And we cut to Bond at MI6. We see the new Moneypenny, which I like this new Moneypenny. Samantha Bond is her name, I think. And our new M, Judi Dench. Love us some Judy. Did not like Judy at the time. Love her now. And Yanis is this arms dealer. You know, that's it. He fucking sells weapons. That's it. You don't need to know that much about him. And they don't know who he actually is. They start drinking. They're laughing. And she tells Bond, fine, Goldeneye, where is it? Who's in charge? What are they doing? Who are you? What are we? Who are they? Go do something. And don't make it personal because it's Trevelyan and Oromov because Oromov's in charge of something. I don't know. But there's a lot of stupid things being said. But say what you will about Judy, that haircut is downright sensible. And I actually really like this scene. The whole sizing him up and... Judy apparently was like super nervous about this scene, which I find interesting. I mean, she's a pretty big-time actress, classically trained, all that. You wouldn't think she'd be too nervous for a Bond movie, but I like to hear that she has some respect for the franchise, you know. And this is back like when this was the only time we'd see MI6. You know, every once in a while they'd pop up again later in the movie, like Spy Who Loved Me, you see him again, Golden Gun, you see him one more time, like a little later. I liked when it was just the beginning of the movie. And you never see them again. Maybe you see them at the end. I don't know. They don't have to be all throughout the movie. The MI6 scenes are always my favorite, I think. It's a safe place. It's a happy place. Any Bond talking to an ally scene I always like. So, we cut to Arumov meeting Mishkin, who was my multiplayer player, by the way. No idea why. He just seemed like an overlooked person in that game, and I just went with him. And they're talking about Goldeneye. And he said, Oromov says it was Siberian separatists. I promise it wasn't me. And this crime syndicate that I've sold Russia down the fucking river for. That definitely didn't happen. It was separatists. I got a hunch, and you're just going to have to trust me. I'm a general, for Christ's sake. And you will listen to what I say, or you will pay. And Mishkin says, oh, yeah, totally. Well... we'll just have to interview those two survivors. And Oromov says, what now? You say two? You also excuse me, I have to go change my military underwear because I'm afraid I just shat myself. But I'm going to go find that second one. And she's totally not going to get murdered brutally or anything. I'm going to treat her nice and it's going to be fine. You'll see. So then we cut to Bond meeting Q. That Z3 car I thought was the coolest thing I'd ever seen when I was a kid. But we never get to see it do anything. I think there was a deleted scene of it actually doing something that they used later for World Is Not Enough, like with the chainsaw helicopter and all that. It's too bad. But a budget was kind of an issue on this movie. A lot of hijinks in that lab. Demonstrate on Fred. Sorry, Fred. It's just, I've said this before about the lab. I mean, you shouldn't be exploding things in there. That's not safe. That's not cool. So, Bond's head to Russia. Lovely area. And he meets his contact, Jack Wade, and says, contact Valentin. He's Yanis' competition, and he'll point you in the right direction. You'll see. Try to get to the bottom of all this. When he meets Jack Wade, like, there was a deleted scene about gardening. He's a big gardener or whatever. Without that deleted scene, when he says, like, hey, Bond, you do any gardening? That scene makes no sense anymore. And how about be a fucking professional, too? You don't see his contact from in From Russia with Love ignore his like little passcodes or whatever. In April, London's a spring month. I mean, dude, like, it's life and death here. Do the back and forth. We're trying to fucking kill terrorists here, asshole. And I don't appreciate them making America look so bad. Like we're obnoxious, ignorant people that don't know what the fuck we're doing. How about we're bankrolling this whole thing? I like how Mishkin later thinks like the Brits did it. Blew up Goldeneye. It's like, when was the last time Russia's been worried about what the British are doing? So get out of here with this hate for America. So Bond whips his ass or does that little move. Nice move. Nice car. Oh, thanks. I was kidding. It's a fucking shitbox. You couldn't get anything reliable? You went with this car? You know we're on a mission here. It needs to start. What if someone sees us and we need to get away? I can't drive this thing. Carry on a sledgehammer with us? Asshole. So Natalia lands too. Contacts Boris. She's all excited. She won't be for long. They meet in the church and he betrays her to Yanis. Not very nice. And Bond meets Valentine. Tips him off to some robbery that he can profit off of in exchange for Yanis's whereabouts. Turns out Yanis is a Lyons Cossack who, they worked for the Nazis against the Russians. After the war, they surrendered to the British to join them and wage war against the communists. I don't know, whatever. The British betrayed them, basically, and sent them back to Stalin, who shot them all, as he tended to do. It was kind of Stalin's go-to move. That's kind of all he knew. Now, what are those people doing here? Ah, they're just, the British gave it to us. Okay, you can kill them all of them, all, everyone. Kill them all. Okay. Hey, what are those people doing on the side of the road? I don't know, Joey. I think they're just walking. They're just walking to go get lunch. One of those guys looked inside this car. You think he's an enemy? Nah, man, I think he's just walking to get lunch, going to get a Russian sandwich. You think he's an enemy? You think he's a dirty capitalist? Maybe. Okay, murder all those people that he's with, and go ahead and murder his whole family too and everyone he's ever known. Just to be safe, guys. You know the old adage, better safe than sorry. And if you murder anyone, everyone, you don't have to worry about that. And by the way, you'll all be dead soon too. So we cut to Bond swimming, you know, in between this meeting and meeting with Yanis. Bond says, you know, I'm going to go for a little dip in our pool. I read the brochure and I heard it was pretty nice. So I'm going to go for a little swim. And Zinni says, you know what? That sounds like a good idea too. I want to go for a swim. Well, they meet and Zinni never looks better in that robe. And they have this fight, which apparently she like broke her actual ribs during this fight. He finally gets the better of her. Give that guy a concussion, the likes of which you've never seen before. Hitting him in the head with that pot. Whoever is this sound effects supervisor on this movie, bravo for the noise it makes when Bond hits that guy in the head with that pot. It's like that dude, X-Force, whatever that guy in Living Daylights that fights Necros, when he gets hit with that cast iron skillet, dong. it's just always funny to hear someone get hit in the head with a pan. So Bond gets the best of him, and he says, take me the ass. Take me. Do it. And they get there. Once again, the pleasure was all yours, and that judo chop is from the fucking heart. Never see Pierce get so mad as when he chops her, and just pure disgust comes over his face. So he searches the statue. Yanis is revealed as 006. Gasp! So his parents survived the murders of Stalin. I have no idea how. Ain't nobody surviving over there back then. And MI6 figured he was too young to remember, which just seems like an oversight. And his dad, the fucking psychopath he was, killed his mom and himself. I don't know why he didn't kill Trevelyan too. Just better off to leave him on his own. So that was a nice little ending to their life. And Bond doesn't seem... I mean, at first he's like, I trusted you. And then like that was about it. Bond doesn't seem to give a shit that like his best friend just betrayed him and the government. Am I supposed to feel sorry for you? No, you were supposed to die for me. Well, dude, what do you mean I'm supposed to die for you? I surrendered, and I was coming out of those gas tanks, put my gun down, put my hands up. All right, me and Al can get out of this by ourselves. Let's do this. and then they shot you in the head. What the fuck was I supposed to do? I'm sorry about your stupid, stupid parents and how dumb and dead they are. But that's not my fucking fault. If you're mad at the government, cool. But, like, what did I do, asshole? You know what? I did know your parents. I met your dad, actually.
You did?
I did, yes. He was acting very cowardly. He was walking around one day and said, I you don't know me, but don't tell my wife or my newborn son, Alec, that I might be a homosexual, closet homosexual. And then he said, fuck it, I'm going to kill everybody, and left. And not long after that, I heard of a suicide and murder. So that must have been him. Fuck Trevelyan and this logic that he's using. I mean, realistically, it's like, yeah, I had to do what I had to do, man. Like, there was money to be made, and I don't fucking like the Brits. I don't like the government. You want to join me? No, I don't. Well, then, I'm sorry, dude. Business is business, and I gotta get rid of you here. But to be, like, personally mad at Bond for whatever fucking reason, I never understood. But whatever, we gotta have a plot, don't we? So, best to just move on, you know? Probably could have just shot him then, too. But that's not very Bond-like. I'm not gonna knock Alec for that. I mean, who doesn't love a fun death? Like locking him and Natalia in that helicopter, firing a missile, and then just for it to come back and murder them. Bond gets out of it. Just seems like another big oversight, putting that ejector seat button, I don't know, 2 inches from Bond's head. And they escape. And Natalia wants to, like, tell Bond to eat shit. And Bond's like, listen here, you fucking commie bitch. I don't eat this shit. I just saved your ass. And then Michigan drives up and they're like, okay, it's a rape going on. There seems to be a struggle. But no, they're just roughhousing. And they bring him in for questioning. Again, I'm not sure why he thinks the Brits blew it up, but he realizes there's another Goldeneye. And Orimov betrayed them. And that's around the time when Orimov comes in a little bit disheveled. He'd been drinking. And he just fucking kills Michigan. He realizes there was an insider. Boris Grishenko. I saw him do it. KGB or military? Neither. He's just a fucking idiot. So, Bond escapes. Natalia's taken away, as she tends to do. And does this great little Bond kind of moment, swinging from the archives. I don't know what's in those books in that archive. I thought they had burned all the books during the Cold War, but apparently not. And Bond gets in the tank, which is, it's up there with just the best scene in any Bond movie ever. Boy, GoldenEye plays second fiddle a lot to The Spy Who Loved Me. The PTS is second for me behind Spy Who Loved Me. The song is second behind The Spy Who Loved Me. And my favorite action sequence is second to the car ride in Spy Who Loved Me. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. So a great tank sequence with the statue and and just destroying everything. I can't believe this was done. A lot of it was done on a set. They built that set. That is insane to me. And the music they were supposed to play during this was so god-awful. If y'all ever get a chance, I think it's Pleasant Drive Through St. Petersburg. Nothing pleasant about that song. And during that commentary with Martin Campbell, he actually talks about it. This dude's like no bullshit. If you ever get a chance to go look at Martin Campbell behind the scenes on GoldenEye, the way he's directing, his screaming all the time and cursing, it's the funniest shit. It is fantastic. Do yourself a favor. But anyway, he's like, yeah, I was just straight up disappointed with the music for GoldenEye. I was. And this was such a great scene, and I get the music for it, and it just wasn't right. And I said, we need, like, brass or horns or whatever, you know, and drums. And Eric Serra, that little fucking punk, was like, oh, well, can't you just make the sound effects lower? I basically just told him, no, I'm not changing my artistic integrity from your movie, you know. And he's like, cool. Can you get me line 2 of your office? And he just, like, got his assistant to do, over the weekend, write me a score. This is what I want for this scene. And the dude just wrote this great 007 Bond theme for this action sequence, and it makes it. Fuck Eric Serra. The only bad thing about this movie is that dipshit. So anyway. And Orimov eventually escapes on a train with Natalia, Xenia, and Trevelyan. So you get the whole band on that train. Trevelyan's just eating lunch. I mean, is there a chef on board? Who cooked that meal? What's he eating? Strawberries? Not sure why they don't just kill Natalia there. I mean, she's literally the only person left that knows of y'all's deceit and treachery. Kill her. Right now. Kill her. Murder. Murder, murder, murder. Nope. Can't do it. We'd have no movie without it. That's true. And Orimov reports that Bond escaped. Bond is alive. He escaped. He's drinking. Looks like he had something to drink this morning. You started up pretty early today, did you? Yeah, just a little bit. What do you mean a little bit? Let me see that flask. Yeah, that's almost gone. You just been drinking straight vodka. It's the middle of the day, man. Pretty big mission we're on. You're about to be a billionaire. Thought it was a good idea to start drinking liquor in the middle of this? Asshole. Sorry. You're sorry, huh? You stuff your sorries in a sack, mister. So Bond gets on the train. That conductor on this train doesn't look like a Yanis operative to me. Just some poor bastard that's just trying to finish a day's work. He didn't want to get involved in all this Yanis versus the government, let's blow up London kind of stuff. Just leave him alone, man. No need to fire a tank missile at him, Bond. Trevelyan's, spouting out some more dramatic shit. So they eventually kill Orimov. Thoughts and prayers, and they get away and Trevelyan gives him 6 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever, because of whatever. Just to be stupid. Just to be a jerk. Not cool, Alec. And Natalia tracks that they're going to Cuba. Not sure where in Cuba, but they're going to Cuba. Havana. Miami. And they escape before it blows up. Like his little laser watch. So they escape before it blows up and they say, all right, let's go to Cuba. And she says, well, I need to go to Cuba with you. I need to disarm the satellite, which is correct. So many women like tag along for no reason in a lot of these movies, but this is the best job they ever do of making the Bond girl integral to the plot. She's the computer programmer that Bond needs to disarm this thing. So, kudos to them. So let's do a little advertising. Again, this is the same advertisement we had last time for GoldenEye because they have like the rights to every time we do a GoldenEye movie, they paid for advertising on it to be the sole advertiser. So I'm sorry if you've heard it before. Donkey dicks. Want to see a woman fuck a donkey? Yeah, I remember this one. Well, they did pay for it. Come to Donkey Dicks. It's exactly what it sounds like. A donkey is selected from the farm, put on stage, and some unfortunate soul makes sex to it. They don't have an address, so they told me to give you all the directions. Take the railroad tracks headed west. When you get to the bridge, go inside the gun store and walk to the back. Knock 3 times. The password is didgeridoo. Well, I read it. I'm not going to sell it, but that's it. Go there. Apparently it's a wild time. Let's get to the listener questions. Anonymous writes, you suck. I'm going to kill you. Sleep tight, motherfucker. Jesus. How's that supposed to make me feel? Well, just not a 5-star review there. But I'm sorry you're not a big fan of the show, Anonymous. But that's okay. Someone might ought to want to look into him, though. Check his paperwork and make sure everything's okay with him, because he may be coming to murder me. So, back to the movie. We go to Cuba. Lovely town. Town. Country. And Bond's, they brought his car on a ferry, and he's driving around there. And they land the plane right over the car at like the same time, which I saw that like this was a crazy big stunt for them. It doesn't really translate well to the screen because it just doesn't look like that big a deal. But apparently this was like a really big deal for them to do. And you watch it on the movie and it's like, oh yeah, who cares? It's just him riding a car and then a plane landing. So waste of time there. Good job, assholes. So we cut to them reflecting on the beach. Bond is. He's just alone with his thoughts. Natalia's all of a sudden grown a conscience and just starts mouthing off a computer programmer about how he's going to, kill him. All the heroes I know are dead. Who are your heroes? Karl Marx? Stalin? They say you grow hair looking like a Stalin. He was your friend and now he's your enemy and you would kill him. It's as simple as that. Well, no, it's actually not that simple, you bitch. He betrayed my government. He was an agent, betrayed me and the government. And now he stole a crazy deadly weapon and he's going to destroy an entire country so that he can make a shit ton of money. What would you like me to do? You notice how she never gives him an alternative. She's just like saying that she's not impressed. Bitch, I don't need to impress you. I know how this is ending. You're going to end up in the sack with me. I know how this ends. So cut the shit. Get off your fucking high horse. You remember when he blew up your entire workplace and all your employees, all your friends? Alex Borstein? Sitting on faces? She'll never sit on a face again. And that's the guy you... What are you suggesting? I just let him go? Fuck off with that. So a woman yelling at him gets him all hot. So he just forces her to fall in love with him, which she does. And they bang. And after she's like, hey, James, it's like, it's totally fine, like not even a big deal. But earlier you said I mean nothing to you, to Alec and Akardi and Xenia. What did you mean by that? I mean, you don't have to tell me. It's like, it's totally fine. I don't even care. I just, whatever. I'm just curious. Just curious. And Bond says, I don't think we should see each other anymore. I think we should see other people. So we cut to them on a plane to find the satellite. Where the fuck is the base? What's going on here? And they're gunned down. And he wakes up to Xenia, which is always a good thing to wake up to. Straddles him, tries to kill him. Bond gets... I mean, she's licking his face, like, biffed Natalia in the head with that... she headbutts her. Natalia tries to hit her with a log. Shoots the chopper. She gets crushed against a tree. That is the way to go. She gone. That's a fun letter to have to write with the Yanis Crime Syndicate letterhead to inform Ma and Pa on a top of their daughter's death. Dear Ma and Pa on a top. Tragedy has struck. In the jungles of Cuba, your only daughter, Xenia, she gone. Sincerely. P.S. She died doing what she loved, because I hear she always did enjoy a good squeeze. What is that, a fucking joke? Kidding me? It's our only daughter. I'd like to see the Marines going through this whole thing, like trying to figure out what happened. Because you know Bond doesn't fill out like paperwork or fill out a report. It's not really his thing. I come over, I do awesome stuff, and then I leave. It's kind of what I do sexually too. I come on by, I do awesome things sexually, and then you never hear from me again. So the Marines have to go like sift through the debris. They're going through the jungle like, okay, I see a prop plane crashed. What happened here? Okay, and there's a chopper right here crashed. The fuck? Oh, and a rope attached to said chopper that's tied to a dead woman in the tree. The fuck happened here? Good thing we don't give a shit about Cuba, or we'd have some apologies to make. Prime Minister has to call Castro. Now, Fidel, do you remember how we always used to talk about if something would happen with the bomb? The bomb, Fidel. The GoldenEye weapon? One of our agents, our former agents, he went a little funny in the head, and long story short, we ruined half your country, and... Well, let me finish, Fidel. Let me finish, Fidel. Of course I like talking to you. So we cut to Trevelyan's control. Him and Boris are like fighting all the time. And then we reveal that the satellite is underwater. But I want to talk, what's with Boris's fucking attitude? Where does this confidence come from? I'm praying that Trevelyan just pistol whips the piss out of him one time. And he's like, what was that? You fucking nerd. I didn't hear you. What's that? As he's just unconscious. Well, now we can't fire the weapon anymore, boss. I don't care. Worth it. That dude was getting on my freaking nerves. Fucking dork. So Bond and Natalia infiltrate the control. They plant some mines. Natalia's trying to hack into the system to disarm it or change it to something. I don't know. Trevelyan captures him pretty quickly. Look how Trevelyan, he's like, did all those martini silence the screams of all those men you've killed? Well, that's assuming that I feel guilty about that, which I do not. So what's your next one? Or silence all the screams of all the women you failed to protect or whatever? How does he know about all these women? Were they like at a bar after hours? Yeah, so what about you, James? Like, I'm sure there are a couple women over the years. Oh, yeah, there was this countess one time. The guy who I thought was the villain, he was with her. I met her at the card table, and they got into a big fight, and I brought her, I just drove her home. She just lets you drive her home? Yeah, it was awesome. And we just ended up banging right there. Holy shit. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. And then we like went for a walk on the beach the next day, and one of his henchmen tracked us down. Holy shit. Yeah. I got away, but they ran her over doing full speed, and like she took a header off the windshield and she died. Jesus, seriously? Oh yeah. Wow. Yeah, and there was another other one, Jill Masterson, so hot. I walk into her, Goldfinger, he was helping her, she was helping him winning cards. They were cheating, and I was after Goldfinger, so I went in his room, and she's just laying there in her underwear, her bikini. So hot. Holy shit, really? Oh, yeah. So, I turn the tables on Goldfinger, fuck with him, and then I fuck his girl in my room drinking Dom Perignon. It was goddamn awesome. Holy shit, that's fantastic. Yeah, but then I went and get another bottle of Dom, and one of his henchmen knocked me out unconscious and then killed her, suffocated her to death by covering her in gold paint. What? Yeah, pretty fucking diabolical. Jesus. I don't think I want to hear any more, man. Yeah, so Tracy, this woman I married, you were married?
Eh, briefly.
Happily ever after, I retired from the service. Right after that, we're driving our honeymoon, and one of the henchmen for Blofeld, they just shot her in between the eyes, and she died like 30 minutes after we got married. Okay, you know what? I don't want to hear any more. Let me just assume all the women that you're with, just, they're cursed. So, Natalia fucks with the computer. I don't know, again, why they don't just kill them right there. So many times they've tried to kill them, and they have them just standing there. Like, they're down the home stretch here. Murder him. Kill him. It's over. They do kind of need her to get the codes, but then Boris is like, well, I can crack her codes. Well, get on with it. So his plan is to rob the Bank of England and set off the Golden Eye, and it erases all the financial records, and they won't know that he stole it all. And then, I don't know, just do a bunch of shit after that. Calls him an everyday bank robber. Boris is like, oh, shit. And Trevelyan's like, you know, I mean, England's going to learn tonight. So Boris starts fucking around with Bond's pin. If you think that you can keep track of how many clicks he's done with that pin, you are full of shit. And everything blows up. Those poor bastards that get blown up, they just look like regular Joes. The people, like, are they working for Yanis? They got, like, sweaters on at their computers. They just seem like normal people. And Trevelyan goes after Bond. I'm starting to think that Trevelyan and Bond aren't going to be able to patch things up. I don't know. I can't prove it yet, but that's just a hunch that I have. So they have a pretty great fight, actually, back and forth. Throws a wrench into the satellite. That fucks everything up. And they fight on this ladder. He drops Trevelyan after saying some cold shit. And the satellite gets blown up somewhere over the ocean. Bond saves the day. Trevelyan actually wakes up after that fall. Trevelyan waking up, coughing up blood at the bottom of that satellite. It looks like me waking up on a Sunday morning. It's exactly what I look like. So everything explodes for, I'm not even sure what reason. I guess the mines go off. I don't know why everything explodes. Someone's going to have to look into that for me, because I don't know. Boris gets iced, which is just fun. And Bond gets dropped in the field with Natalia. I'm not sure where that helicopter driver goes that Natalia pulls at gunpoint. I'm getting the hell out of here. And Wade and the Marines finally come. Where were you about an hour ago, asshole? Things got a little hairy back there. It was a little tricky, Alec. And they go back to Guantanamo to fuck. You talk about the last place I want to have sex is Guantanamo Bay in some holding cell. You have any, like, hotel rooms here? I mean, Cuba used to be a nice place. I know the elites, I mean, they're staying at a nice place somewhere. Can I go have sex there? And we get to the end credits with this horrifically offensive song. What is it? Mysterious Love? Something about love. I don't know. And I don't care, but I do care about this movie. The song and Eric Serra, really, it's the worst part of this movie. And I didn't think that, like, a score could affect my love of a movie, but you put a John Barry score over this movie, fantastic. Tom Arnold. David Arnold? Yes, Tom Arnold scored GoldenEye, yes. David Arnold or John Barry, fantastic. Eric Serra, well, fuck yourself. Huge success. I can't believe how budget it was. Like, looking at the behind the scenes and, like, reading into it. I mean, they basically had, Bond hadn't been around for 6 years. And you have a TV star who hadn't really done much. He's your star. Unproven. And their budget was pretty low. And, like, this was not a slam dunk. The Cold War was over. They had no idea how this was going to go. So it was funny reading, like, all the corners they were trying to cut, just trying to save a shit ton of money, because it might have all gone up in smoke. Which I think makes for a better movie, when they kind of go a little more basic. It doesn't have to be so fucking huge. You don't have to spend $350 million to make a great movie. So, you can learn something from GoldenEye. I thought Pierce was as good as he ever was in this movie. That guy just looks like James Bond. He's perfect. And I still love Pierce. I don't care what anyone says. And his movies are underrated. And I think time will show that they are. GoldenEye has obviously been a classic ever since it came out. But Tomorrow Never Dies, I think, is the most underrated Bond movie there is. And World's Not Enough is a good time, man. Like, it reminds me of, like, a Live and Let Die kind of thing, where it's like, yeah, you know, it's not, like, perfect, but it's a good time. Christmas Jones annoying, but, you know. And then Dine of the Day is so terrible. Time will be kind to Pierce eventually. The girls, Natalia keeps going up in my book. I think I used to hate her because of The Game, you know. Did I love this movie because of The Game at first? Maybe, but then I realized how good the fucking movie was. This was actually the first movie I ever watched, Bond movie. We, as everyone did my age, we grew up playing The Game, and then we spotted GoldenEye at Blockbuster one night. And those of you listeners that don't know what Blockbuster is, it was a brick-and-mortar store where you could rent a movie or a game for a couple of days. You'd give them like $4, and you bring it back. And we saw GoldenEye there, and we watched it, and we're like, holy shit, that's Dan, that's Facility, that's Control, that's Archives. But then we also realized how great the movie was. And then right after that, TBS did like 13 Days of 007. To hype up Tomorrow Never Dies, kind of promote it. And we watched all the movies, and that got us into Bond. So, but GoldenEye was the first movie I ever saw. But all these years later, I can actually see, that's a great goddamn movie. So anyway, Natalia's great. The henchmen are fantastic in this movie. I mean, two bangers with Xenia and Orlov. If Xenia was just a Bond girl, she'd be number one for me. And she's like a top three or four henchman for me. I love Xenia. She's just so insane and fun and fantastic. And Orlov, any henchman that lets alcohol get in the way of his job, I'm all for him. And Boris isn't bad either. Trevelyan's a solid villain. He gets almost overshadowed by how great the henchmen are. But I love the idea of an ex-agent becoming a villain. I think it's great. Score is horrific, like I said. And that's that. There's GoldenEye. That's it. It's over. Drinking a GoldenEye. I'm going to go watch For Your Eyes Only now. Another cold movie. To just keep this coldness going. Look us up on the Twitter device. I did an Instagram for about 3 days. And then people I knew started following me. Like actual friends. I don't want people I know following me on there. Doing all kind of Bond nerd shit. So I deleted it. So look us up on Twitter. Look up some people we like on here. Calvin Dyson. He's always good. David Zuritsky, The Bond Experience. Been enjoying his stuff too. Can't watch it all because I have, you know, like a job and a life. Otherwise, I'd have to spend all my waking hours watching his videos to knock them all out. That's how much content he puts out there. And I like that because it means that someone out there is as into Bond as I am. You know, before I got on Twitter and all that, I just figured I was just an annoying friend that like was always talking about Bond and no one else wanted to talk about it. But turns out I'm not the only one. People like David Zuritsky, Calvin Dyson, they're into it as much as I am, which is nice. Just comforting. Makes me feel better. And speaking of GoldenEye, the remastered version just came leaked out online. That is fantastic, and it makes me angry that we never got it, and probably never will get it. But take a look. It's the GoldenEye XBLA something, I don't know. But it's pretty cool, if you want to check it out. I'm not sure what we'll be doing next. Probably a Roger movie, because who doesn't love Roger Moore? All right, that's all I got.